Well, hello, everyone. It is such a joy to be with you today. My name is the Reverend Samuel Felderman, and I am joined, as always, by my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Michelle Townsend Grove. We have reached our first week of the new season of Epiphany. We hope that you and yours had a blessed holiday season and a happy new year. And we are so excited to be sharing our texts with you today. Our commentary text for the day is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 10. And Michelle is going to read this text for us from Dr. Gaffney's translation. Michelle?
This is a good one, my friends. Awake, daughter, awake. Don your strength, daughter Zion. Don your beautiful garments, daughter. Jerusalem, the holy city, for no more shall the uncircumcised and the unclean enter you, daughter. Shake yourself from the dust, daughter. Rise up. Jerusalem, sit on your throne. Loose the bonds from your neck, captive daughter Zion. For so says the saving God, for nothing were you all sold, and for no cost shall you all be redeemed. For so says the sovereign God, first my people went down to Egypt to sojourn there as aliens, then Assyria, without cause, oppressed them. So now, what am I doing here? Utters the God who sees. Seeing that my people are taken without cause, their rulers howl, utters the God who hears. And continually, all day long, my name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who bring good news, proclaiming peace, bringing good news, proclaiming salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns, daughter. Daughter, the sound of your sentinels lifting their voice, and one they sing for joy. For from one eye to another they see the return of the Holy One of Sinai to Zion. Revel, raise a song together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Holy One of old has comforted God's people. God has redeemed Jerusalem. The mighty God has bared a holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. All right, Samuel. Once again, I'll say it. Another rich text, another beautiful text. So I'll ask, what you thinking?
And I will respond as I do every week, Michelle. So many things.
Yes.
First of all, what can we say other than, wow, that this is beautiful? The poetic nature of the prophets is something that I think is so important to highlight, for no other reason than it's a literary beauty. Friends, I would encourage you to spend some time in the prophets, because they are just beautifully written. And we have this beautiful language. Awake, daughter, awake, don your strength. It's these beautiful phrases. So much beauty. While this is a different prophet, This is a hymn that belongs to not just its time and place, it's a hymn that belongs to all those who are seeking restoration, seeking wholeness and fulfillment. Verse 7 has that beautiful, I mean, that just breathtaking line, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news, proclaiming peace, bringing good news, proclaiming salvation. I think of the way that our world is today. All of those millions of people who have fled their homes because of war, because of violence, because of persecution, these millions of refugees that are suffering away from home, who are in exile. I think of those who are homeless among us, those without homes, those who are sick and are in hospitals, those who are in prison and away from who have been away from their families, especially during this holiday season, who have been in exile, who for one reason or another, there are all of these people. For them, this psalm, this hymn is their song. It is the song of those waiting for return and restoration. And I think as we sit together listening to these words, and all of us who are joining us by listening, this hymn is such a hymn of not only those who need restoration, but it is also a call to those of us who are in positions of resource and privilege. And it is a call for us to participate in that restoration and that wholeness. This world can be a place. This world can be a place of good news, of peace, of salvation. How beautiful can our own feet be as we go out to share good news of peace? So those are some of the things that I have been sitting with in this text, sort of thinking of the universal sort of quality of it. But Michelle, I'd love for you, if you could take us through sort of where, yes, there's this universal aspect to it that I think is important, but boy, the actual contextual historical moment is also wildly important for us to understand this text. So if you do us the courtesy, I'd love to hear, friends, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Michelle's work, Michelle has done so much incredible study on so many things. And she, before our podcast started, I said, "Hey, can you talk about what are the chances that you could give us a history lesson on this?" And she said, "Oh, I just happen to have a book full of notes here on this very topic." So we're blessed to have someone with such wisdom and grace joining, who is with us today to tell us more about all that the book of Isaiah contains.
Oh, Samuel, thank you. That's so sweet. And I'll tell you though, every time I dig into this, I learn more about what I don't know. So just know that I come at this with humility because I love learning about the contextual pieces, understanding that the theological is even broader than the contextual, and that's a rich area as well. And every time I dig into this, I love what I learn. And I find how absolutely ignorant I am. And I own that upright. So just know that as I enter this. So Isaiah was a prophet that actually came out of the Southern Kingdom. If you remember us talking about, after the United Kingdom under Saul and then David and then Solomon, that the kingdom divided. And then those kingdoms really struggled because being divided, they were each weaker and a little bit more accessible to the powers that were pushing in on them from all sides. And Isaiah was actually in the stronger of the kingdom called Judah, where Jerusalem, the capital, was, which is also where the temple was. And if you remember an earlier theology, the temple is where God lived, right? So you have a lot of strength because you are where God is. So here is Isaiah speaking to the leadership, the royalty of the southern kingdom, Judah. And at the beginning, the first chapters of Isaiah, particularly, well, and there's a little bit of debate here. You know, it says chapters 1 through 39, but there's a lot of debate. And there's some of those chapters in there that actually might be later. So what is actually set is that chapters 1 through 12 and 28 to 32 are definitely from Isaiah ben Amoz, who is the original prophet. But you see, here's the cool thing. Isaiah, the book that we find in the Jewish scriptures, is actually the culmination of several centuries of prophecy that is given to Isaiah's name. And so we have some of those early chapters, which are around the 8th century, where that northern kingdom fell. So imagine being in the southern kingdom, watching your northern brothers and sisters who you have relationship with, but you're not necessarily getting along with, and they're overtaken by Assyria, right? And so you see the prophecy during that time, but what you hear today is actually about 200 years later. And it's during the time in which the southern kingdom is falling to the Babylonian Empire. And they are at the lowest of the low. The temple has been destroyed. God's home has been destroyed. And the Northern Empire is also overtaken by Babylonian. And the Babylonian Empire used a tactic of division. So the richer people, the business people, they took out of Judah and Israel and sent them to foreign lands. And people from Babylonia moved in. And the people who were still situated there were usually the people who were poor, who had no status. So all of this is going on as the prophet Isaiah is speaking these words. And I think that's important. And then to know that there's actually a third Isaiah. So there's Isaiah, Deutero-Isaiah, Trito-Isaiah. I think I said those right. I don't always say my words correctly. But that one is the last third of the book of Isaiah. And that will have more hope because that's about 50 years later than this time where the Babylonian Empire is taking over, when Persia is coming in. And even though Persia overtakes all of this land, they are much more tolerant and accepting of people's religions. People who had been deported move back, the temple is rebuilt, and King Cyrus is seen as a hero. And we'll talk more about him next week. So just know this book has about 200 to 300 years of stuff happening. And we are right in the period of that 6th century where the fall and they are at their lowest. Boy, doesn't that bring some profound meaning to these words? Ah, so Samuel, with that in mind, what are you thinking? Where do you go from here?
Well, Michelle, I have a couple of things I'd like to lift up for our listeners when we are thinking about just a little bit more reading and a little bit more context. First of all, friends, obviously our section that we've looked at today is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 10. I would invite you, if you are interested at all, to actually go back a chapter And it's not too long of a read. It'll only take you probably 15 minutes, but I invite everyone to actually start in Isaiah 51 and read through Isaiah 55. This is the sort of the fullness of the song that we sort of broke into the middle of. So if you want a larger context, that is very much a good thing to do. I'd invite you to just do that. Go start in 51, go through 55, and you'll hear the beautiful words we've looked at today put in a larger context of celebration and hope and fullness. So I wanted to point that out. I also wanted to point out that this, as Michelle so beautifully was able to put us in a historical context, the book of Daniel, all well, let me say the first six chapters of the book of Daniel, because Daniel is a complicated book as well that we don't have time to get into. But if you're interested in hearing more about Babylon's process of pulling people out and putting them back in, through their imperial system, as Michelle was describing, the first six chapters of the book of Daniel recount some really strange and crazy stories about how the Babylonians did that and how members of the kingdom of Judah sort of settled in, and some of the things of how that went. Some of the stories that you may have been raised with, if you were raised in a Sunday school in a Christian church, you will find familiar stories there. But that's another place to look for some context in this story. If I may, I would like to say just one other thing, Michelle, if we have time, and
Yes,
that's
go for it.
just to draw attention to verse 9 of our reading today. And I'd like to read it again. And it says, "Revel and raise a song together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Holy One of old has comforted God's people." As we think of the story of what's actually happening, the temple has been destroyed, the people are being exiled, and as we think of this universal story of our world today, where people are in exile, where wholeness and restoration has just not been found. I love this verse, "Raise a song together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Holy One has comforted God's people." Restoration is not something that happens overnight. Restoration is not something that God snaps God's fingers and happens. Restoration is a thing that takes time, but it starts by people in the ruins raising their voices together, calling for a better world. So as we wrap this week up, I would encourage all of us to look around and see. I think it's fair to say that one could argue that our world is sort of in ruins right now. But
Yes.
restoration is not something we just sit and wait for. It's something that we raise our voices in insistence of, and pick ourselves up and begin to put the pieces together. That's how restoration comes about. We can
Nice.
find comfort in our collective work of bringing our song together because we have been comforted and those ruins can be built up again.
Nice, nice. And I would say to that too, a profound first of all, thank you, because I think that is a profound fundamental message. And here we are at the beginning of 2024. This is where we're making New Year's resolutions, right? And in that, were the New Year's resolutions ones about your own person, your own improvement, or were they about the improvement of the world around you? Were they focused in community and the larger circle? Because that's what the scriptures keep telling us to do. This isn't us just waiting passively for this God who Dr. Gaffney named beautifully in this. And once again, Dr. Gaffney does amazing work with the names of God, and just reading that over and over always warms my soul. And it reminds us that we actually have a part in this and can join community where we also have support to do the work that needs to be done. Restoration is not thrust upon us. We are called to be a part of the work. Yes.
Friends, we are so grateful that you have joined us today. We hope that this time with our text has been a source of comfort to you and a source of inspiration. We look forward to seeing you next week. Happy Epiphany season, everyone, and Happy New Year.
Take care, my friends.